This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
And now,
this is the Rich Eisen Show.
I'm Tunnel Vision.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Mike Tomlin of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I certainly can't seek comfort in the longevity of my career.
Today's guests, Prime Video Thursday Night Football analyst Richard Sherman, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, actor William Stanford Davis. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. That's correct. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. As always, as we do every single day between 12 and 3 Eastern Time, we say hello to those streaming us live on Disney Plus and the ESPN app. We say hello to our ESPN radio audience, Sirius XM Channel 80, which is how you can listen to ESPN radio on satellite. And I don't know about you guys. Things might feel... If they feel extra linear around here today, it's because we say hello to the ESPN cable audience back on ESPN for the first time since my Sports Center last August. And of course, back in the day when I used to have hair, good to chat with everybody, whether you're watching us on cable, or you're streaming us on Disney Plus, listening to us terrestrial radio, Sirius XM. And of course, there's our podcast listeners. You matter to us as well. Every single day, all 3 hours of the Rich Eisen Show available by podcast. There's our YouTube channel for those who just want to watch things in clip form, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Richard Sherman of Prime Video's Thursday Night Football coverage is going to join us in about 20 minutes time to chop up all the latest news and, of course, the wild card weekend. And then Tom Pelissero, my colleague from NFL Network, will join us in the middle of hour number two to talk with all of us about the coaching carousel that has spun completely, snapped off its axis, to say the least. And for those Abbott Elementary fans out there, meaning every single human being listening to me, the quick-witted janitor, if you will, an occasional substitute teacher, Mr. Johnson himself, William Stanford Davis in studio in hour number three. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial to have a conversation. That's all of our housekeeping. Let me straighten out my best dad ever signed. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, good morning, my friend. I'm excellent.
DJ Mikey D, Mike Del Tufo. Good to see you out there. How are you? Candles lit, TJ Jefferson. Is it not?
It is lit. You know, one of my favorite Abbott Elementary episodes, they were all in a fantasy football league together, and it just reminded me of us. Like,
meaning what?
Just trying
to undercut. They all won some form of fantasy football?
Well, that, in the sense that when we're all in one league, we're always trying to undercut each other.
Ah, so, I like it. Yeah. Phone lines are lighting up. Greatly appreciate
Let's
that. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial to have a conversation with us. I start with a chess analogy.
Oh.
And I'm going to out there play chess.
Versatile.
But when you play chess against somebody who makes a move that helps you and then maintains his or her finger on that piece for a very long time, and you're wishing he or she would remove her finger from the piece, making that move that helps you official, only to rescind that move and then checkmate you. I wonder if that's the way Mike McDaniel feels today in South Florida.
Wow. Okay.
Because it seemed like he was fine.
Yep.
In Miami Dolphins.
Didn't he tell us that?
Well, he, earlier this week, when he met with the media, after seemingly surviving whatever axe was hanging over his head, was talking about how he would be part of the conversation as to who's going to be the next general manager there. And I said this from this chair back in November when the Miami Dolphins fired Chris Greer, their general manager, after a Thursday night, speaking of Richard Sherman, Thursday night football game lost to the Baltimore Ravens, which happened in week 9. And the trade deadline was coming up the next week. And the Dolphins clearly didn't want the general manager of this team that dropped to 2-7 to be the one to say this person should go, what the compensation is going to be. They didn't want the GM to be in charge of that. They had already seen enough, I guess, of Chris Greer. I said at the time that I don't know how the coach is going to survive this, because anytime you hire a new general manager, you normally have a coaching opening as well, because you want to hire the general manager and the coach together, because either A, the general manager wants to be in charge of who the coach is, or B, there's a coach who says, I have enough cachet, I have enough of a resume build where I can tell you, I'm not coming to you unless you let me choose my general manager, because in my previous spots, I'm sick and tired of not, to use the old school Parcells phrase, shopping for the groceries. And that's kind of like a Bill Parcells deal. Like, I'm sick and tired of being the coach here, being told who I have to draft or how I get to play, so and so forth. And sure enough, the word comes out that they like Mike McDaniel so much in the ownership suite. Stephen Ross has such an affinity for him, and I totally get that. He's a good dude whenever you meet him. We had our fun with him when he's been on this program. But it just smacked me of doing something the old Bass Ackward way. Mm-hmm. And that when it comes time to a general manager search, things might change. Mm-hmm. And I don't say this because I'm, you know, wanting to say to everybody, I told you so, or I'm right. Although there is a certain benefit to sitting in a chair like this in a show like this and being correct. But sure enough, today, Mike McDaniel was told on a Thursday, that he's no longer the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. Now, what happened between the season ending and now? Now, our colleague here at ESPN, words I don't say very often.
Get used to it.
I know. I kind of dig it. Used to do it for 7 years. And have been doing it since September. Jeff Darlington says Stephen Ross really likes Mike McDaniel and has been thinking about it since the beginning of this week. That it wasn't just something that rashly he has determined on Thursday. He's been ruminating. They met earlier this week, had a good meeting, but didn't feel comfortable in all regards. And to use the Seinfeld phrase, yada, 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 they need a new head coach there in Miami as of a Thursday morning. That said, as we all know, there has been a new voice in the Dolphins ownership suite and all their meetings. His name is Troy Aikman, and he was hired as a consultant to help find a new general manager. And you could see it's just a new way of doing things, that teams announce who they have targeted for interviews or ask permission to speak with from other organizations for their role. And there have been some names that have been thrown out there, and meetings that clearly have been had with Stephen Ross and the rest of the circle of trust in Miami that now includes two Hall of Fame quarterbacks, because Marino's already been in there. And Troy Aikman has been in these meetings. And I will just say this. Troy Aikman giving a fresh set of eyes to this equation here. Again, I'm not going to ascribe to Troy what he has said that could lead to a decision like today. I'm just saying that there's enough stuff that gets chopped up in a room about scheme, about what other people in the industry might be saying, and obviously what Troy thinks the team could use best, and hiring another general manager. When you speak to these GMs, they might say, I kind of like you. I like this place. I like what you're selling. I like there's no state income tax. I kind of dig all this stuff. I'd like to come work for you. But I'd like to choose my own head coach. That could have happened. You see, is there anything else that's happened in, say, the last 24 hours that kind of influenced some? I got it. John Harbaugh.
Yes.
He's available. Thanks, guys, for helping jog my memory on that
part. I knew you'd get there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's so now Jeff Darlington says that Stephen Ross didn't, they have not, no contact with John Harbaugh.
Yeah, as of this morning, an hour ago, no contact yet.
Maybe telepathically they did.
Match gate ball.
You know what I'm saying?
Or the Should fact I that, call John Harbaugh?
The Ravens also, after firing John Harbaugh, you see a name that they're interested in. Anthony Weaver, defensive coordinator of the Miami Dolphins.
That was a decent unit.
So, I mean, you might have your own candidate in-house you don't want to let go. General managers might be saying these things. And John Harbaugh, 100%, even though I have not spoken to him, there's no question in my mind he's going to want his own general manager. I mean, it's just the end of the story. He's going to want his own guy. His brother wanted his own guy. Harbaughs have the cachet to say, I'm bringing my own guy. You know, don't even call if that's the... Honestly, there have had to have been a half dozen teams by now, other than the ones that already had openings, to have called the Harbaugh camp to say, what do you think of us? The Dolphins had to have been one of them. There's no way they didn't have a conversation over the last 24 hours. John Harbaugh got... I mean, there's got to be, what, a text chain? Like, we have a text chain sometimes about fantasy football?
Sure.
You don't think there's, like, a I don't know what it's labeled. You know, the Ross.
The title is very important.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, very important.
I bet you Aikman's not calling the title. You know what I mean? I don't think he's changing the title of the text chain. It doesn't strike me
this
as the
title has been
title.
Changed by Troy
Aikman.
South Beach.
The eight beer octet? I don't know. Are there eight of them?
I'm hoping it has something to do with Ace Ventura, to be honest.
Yeah, Laces Out.
Laces Out.
That's good. That's not bad. Landman's involved somewhere.
Ross's Laces Out group. All right. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is 100% what's happening down there in South Florida. And I think Dolphins fans who have been sitting here saying, we had a group of people that went ahead and hired a guy that's never done it before and hooked him up with a quarterback that we then paid an insane amount of money to without a single playoff win, and we pushed everything to the center of the table, and that bet absolutely crapped out. I mean, the 100%, the only way that decision to hook up at the end of the day McDaniel to Tua and pay Tua 55-something million bucks a year and give him all that contract without a single playoff win from the duo in the books, although a playoff appearance, as we all know, the don't pass line is the way you would make the money on that one. And I think a lot of observers were betting on the, if you will, don't pass line on this. And now, you know, that's what happens in the NFL when these moves get made and they don't work out. Everyone gets fired. It's a vicious business. Vicious business. But this move doesn't come as a surprise at all. And certainly with John Harbaugh being out there, this doesn't come as a surprise at all. I wonder if Harbaugh kind of digs this idea. You know, you do have to figure out who your quarterback is.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a massive issue cap-wise and contractual-wise for at least next year on this front. But you are now coming in with a total fresh set and a total reboot, one would think, in the ownership suite as well, not Stephen Ross himself, but the way that they're learning, if you will, from Aikman how to do all this stuff. So this makes sense. It made no sense to fire the general manager and then have the coach decide who the next GM is when John Harbaugh is sitting out there, with all due respect to everyone involved. And in that regard, Mike McDaniel, if he wants to, I'm sure he wants to still be a head coach in the league. Once you're a head coach in the league, that's where you want to be. But if he's willing to be an offensive coordinator, I mean, I don't know how many opportunities he might get of the other head coaching jobs. It's possible Cleveland does covet him. He did spend some time there. He could wind up in Cleveland, and that would be an interesting hire, to say the least. And But he's going to be one of the hottest. If he wants to be an offensive coordinator, he could be the highest paid OC in the league and is an instant offense to any other organization that hires a defensive coordinator slash culture guy like, say, Robert Saleh, who knows him from the San Francisco days.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It feels like they could be the new, you know, kind of dream team pair for a team.
Anybody that has a head coach that doesn't have the offensive pedigree, you want to hire somebody like that? And they could say, I'm bringing Mike McDaniel to the equation. And he's now sort of a co-coach in that regard from the offensive side of the ball.
That ain't
no, there's no, you know what I'm saying? There's no co-HC, but that's going to be a strong opportunity for him. Like it's not like he's going to disappear by any stretch of the imagination. And of course he could build up a shot at a head coaching gig somewhere else. But another moment in time over the last 24 hours that makes me feel completely dumb for saying back on Tuesday's show, I think this is the end of the coaching carousel. I think this is it. I did say those words into this microphone. You did. Not great.
It also might not still be over.
And that's what I want to ask Tom Pelissero when he joins us in hour two. Is there anybody coaching for their jobs this weekend? And is there any other teams that, knowing John Harbaugh's out there and knowing that they've already kicked a tire there, and he'd be like, I'd be interested if you do X, Y, and Z. And obviously the X, Y, and Z would be have a vacancy. I don't know. That's what we'll ask Tom about. There's you at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. A big story breaking in college football, and that is Kurt Cignetti saying he is frequently happy and smiles.
I did see that.
We'll play that soundbite for you. And then for Dallas Cowboy honk T.J. Jefferson, congratulations. Jerry Jones wants to set a record for Super Bowls before he retires. And there's that. There's our higher register Thursday. And there's you, as I mentioned, at 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We're off and running here on ESPN, Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio. My gosh, what are we not on today? Richard Sherman coming up next. Rich Eisen here. You know that feeling of handing off your taxes and then hearing nothing? Total radio silence. Well, not anymore. Now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax full service expert who checks for every deduction and keeps you in the loop with real-time updates on your phone. Just match with your dedicated expert, upload your docs, and go live your life, confident you're getting every dollar you deserve. This is how taxes should be. Visit TurboTax.com today to learn more. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app. Only available with TurboTax full service experts. If you're ready for an oil change, trust the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts to recommend the best products for your vehicle. Right now, get 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil and a Wix filter for $35.99 and receive a $15 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. Upgrade to a Wix XP oil filter for just $2 more. Limits apply. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial, whether you're watching us on ESPN or you're watching us on Disney Plus, the ESPN app, listening to us on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We say hello to all of you. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. He's back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Ladies and gentlemen, from Prime Video and a Super Bowl champion in his own right, Richard Sherman. Good to see you, Richard. How are you?
I'm great. Anytime I get to see you, Rich, it's a great day for
right
me.
Back at you. Right back at you. We're on ESPN. I'm always fascinated by backgrounds. That ESPY Award, what's that ESPY Award for? Ooh. Over your right shoulder. What's that ESPY Award for?
That was Breakthrough Athlete.
And, nice.
you know, after the whole Crabtree ordeal.
Okay.
Oh, that thing.
You know, that ordeal, you know. Always have a mark in time with that one.
Is that that's what earned you the break? That's how you broke through? Come on now.
Yeah, it wasn't leading the league in interceptions that year and number one defense and all that great stuff. It was that.
Okay. And now there's some other great stuff behind you. What a great setup you got there, man. Where are the game balls from? Super Bowl? I see a Super Bowl logo behind you.
Yeah, Super Bowls, NFC Championship games. One of them's from that Thanksgiving game in San Francisco where we ate turkey on the field, had a couple interceptions that day.
Yep.
Yeah.
Look at that, man. Your pod as well. I love it. Awesome. Let's just jump right into it. The Seahawk fans right now are out of their skulls. Do you believe in them? Do you think that they have got the chance to go the whole distance? If I'm not mistaken, the last time you saw them was that overtime night on Prime Video against the Rams, one of the games of the year, to say the least. What do you think?
No question. I think they have a chance. I think that's one team they don't want to see in a divisional is the Rams. They'd hope to see them a little later on down the line. So they're hoping San Francisco can go to Philadelphia and get a win. But this team has everything that they need. I mean, this defense is the real deal. They're phenomenal. They're sound. They're fast. They're aggressive. I mean, in that San Francisco 49ers game, you could just feel it through the TV. They're running and hitting, taking advantage of every opportunity. That interception, where Christian kind of bobbled it back to the defender. I mean, that only happens when you're hustling and running to the ball.
Right.
And I think that just rewarded all the hard work they put in that day. The only question mark is the question mark that has been all season is can Sam do it at a high level? Can he get that monkey off of his back that's been haunting him the last few years? And if he can, that'd be phenomenal. And this team is honestly the favorites to win the Super Bowl if he can play like he did that last drive. And I think that last drive of the Rams game did a lot to give him the Seahawks and the fans confidence that, hey, when the game is on the line, they can depend on Sam to get the job done and go down and win the football game.
Well, I mean, the question is hasn't he answered it already, Richard, right? I mean, because it wasn't just the last drive of your game. It was the last quarter plus overtime where he got it done. And then in the same setup as last year, you want to talk about deja vu, right? Having to go on the road to a division opponent where you're either the one seed or you're starting the playoffs on the road. You don't win the division. You got to go on the road to start the playoffs. Same deja vu, except it wasn't all over again. It didn't end in a barrage of turnovers where everybody's wondering if he turned back into a pumpkin. The Seahawks don't play in a way that they demand Sam has to carry the day, but he did on that Thursday night against the Rams. Richard.
Yeah, they don't play that way, but in the playoffs, teams will make you play the way you don't want to play. Mm. They'll make you play to your weakness, not your strength. And I think that's what great coordinators will do in the playoffs. They won't allow you to do what you do best. They'll allow you to do what you do worse and see if you can beat them that way. They won't allow you to throw to your number one receiver. You're going to have to throw to your number two or your tight end, or you're going to have to run the ball. If you run the ball well, they're going to make you throw it. And so I know he slayed the dragon that is the Rams once in Chris Shula and that defense that has haunted him so badly, but I don't think they're done with him. And I think unless the Carolina Panthers can somehow upset the LA Rams this week, they're going to have to see him again, and he's going to have to conquer that dragon. He's going to have to conquer that mountain again. And if he can do that, I think that goes a long way to cementing his legacy, not only in Seattle, but also cooling the talks about, hey, he's just this game manager, or he's this, or all these labels that are out there about everybody. It cements him as a top 10 quarterback in the National Football League and this team as a team that's going to be one to contend with for years to come.
Okay, so then let's jump in here to the best team you've seen all year long. I'm looking at all the Prime Video games on my grid here. The best team you saw all year that you think can now go win it all. Is it Seattle?
Oh, yeah, it's Seattle. It was the day we saw. It was the Seattle Seahawks versus the LA Rams. I mean, it felt like the best two teams. And I mean, Stafford's performance that day was magical. It was magnificent. And if he doesn't win the MVP, then Rich, I don't know what they're doing with the award anymore, because this is just silly. What he threw for 457 in that game in a loss, and he looked fantastic. Obviously, all the distractions with Puka Nacua and the stream, and was he going to do the dance and all that were that same week. But Puka went for 225, I want to say, on 12 grabs, and they looked fantastic, and they lost. And so it looked like two of the best teams in football that day that we got to watch, and it looked like we watched the MVP of the National Football League. If Drake May gets it, it'd be great for him. And what he's done for New England and Mike Vrabel and that team has been fantastic, but I think it's hard not to give it to Stafford this year.
Richard Sherman of Prime Video, all-time great for the Seattle Seahawks here on the Rich Eisen Show. What'd you make of John Harbaugh getting fired, Richard?
Rich, I don't know if you saw the graphic. There was a picture online that showed the field goal, and it showed inside Harbaugh gets fired, outside Tomlin gets fired. And I think I think that was accurate, and I'm not sure, because sometimes it's not because he's not a fantastic coach, and I think he'll find a job immediately, if not somebody firing their current coach to hire him, which might have just happened. But I think sometimes it just runs its course. You know, 18 years somewhere coaching a football team, and sometimes not the message gets stale, but you just want some new life, some new blood, and you want to see if something else is better. And I don't think you can get better than John Harbaugh, just like I don't think you can get much better than Mike Tomlin. But I think when you're somewhere for as long as they've been at these places, as he's been in Baltimore and Tomlin has been in Pittsburgh, the fans grow bored. Even if you're as consistent and as successful as they've been, it's almost redundant. They're like, hey, why are all these exciting things happening around us, and we're not going with the fads? We don't have this new exciting offensive coordinator or coach or this or that. You're just, you know, it's like a Ford. You know, you're making the Ford F-150 every single year. It's fantastic. It sells great. It gets the job done, and it's reliable. But you're watching people build Teslas and this car and this sports car, and you're like, hey, why don't we try some of that stuff? And sometimes you go down that road, and you end up in this coaching cycle that you don't want to be in, where you're firing coach every 2-3 years, and you're going to miss having a consistent coach for 18 years. But we'll see how it goes. I know he'll get a job soon.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And so you think, again, because I had Tomlin on yesterday, he seems as invigorated as ever. You know, like, he seems to be the same guy. The results might not be the same from the beginning of his career. But you think maybe that even though the ball went in the spot on the meme where Harbaugh got fired as opposed to Tomlin, that, let's just say we smash cut to Tuesday, the Texans, who come into this wild card weekend with the longest win streak in the NFL, beats the Steelers and maybe handily, you think we might be in the same situation talking about Tomlin as we have been about Harbaugh this week, Richard?
I think it's possible, and it's not any fault of Tomlin's. I think Tomlin's one of the best coaches in the history of the National Football League, and I think he does a great job of inspiring his players, getting the best out of them. But sometimes that outside noise gets so loud that the ownership groups feels like they have no choice. And again, just like with Harbaugh's situation, I think there would be coaches, teams with head coaches employed right now that would be considering, hey, if Tomlin's available, we may need to change some things. We may need to figure some things out. You may need to figure out a way to bring him in, because of how consistent he is, how respected he is, how his resume and his reputation precedes him, how players speak about him when they've played for him. They speak about him in such regard and such respect. And I think any team would be blessed to have him. And we'll see if Pittsburgh wants to continue.
So, an individual who's been with an organization for a long time and has been terrific in that spot gets tossed aside because somebody better might be coming along. Are you saying coaches are now being treated like players in the National Football League, Richard? I said it. And I know I'm trying to talk in your language. Am I not talking your language right now, Richard Sherman?
You're talking my language.
Right?
It's the microwave society. It's just where we are now. It's transfer portal. It's, hey, what have you done for me lately? Hey, is it fast? Is it quick? Can I get it right now? Like, And I don't necessarily respect it, and I don't think it's sustainable in the long term. That's why you see Tennessee Titans. Like, you thought firing Mike Vrabel was the right move. Now you fire Callahan. Now you have no idea where you're going with your franchise. And Mike Vrabel's is the two seed in the AFC with a fantastic quarterback and right where he should be. So I think sometimes you get so caught up in chasing the new fads and the new hotness that the consistency and foundational football gets lost. That's why these quarterbacks aren't going. That's why you go to a 44-year-old Philip Rivers instead of going with the backup quarterback, because you're like, hey, I think 44-year-old Philip Rivers, who hasn't played in 5 years, is a better fit and gives us a better chance to win than the rookie coming in that we've seen all season and part of this season. So it's weird. It's different.
Okay. Well, you're a spring chicken compared to 44, Richard. I mean, has your phone rang at all? Did your phone ring anymore? No.
They ring me to try to come coach, but you know, I'm enjoying my time on Prime and in that space. But you know, maybe in 5-6 years down the line, if Prime doesn't want to bring me back, then I'll look into the coaching world.
Okay, you like you like what sort of coach? What sort of position? DC, HC? What do you got for me, Richard? Can you be an HC in this league? I mean, yeah. Phillip says he could be, you know. So
I can motivate men and lead men into battle and lead a football team and an organization, no question about it. But I'd start low and work my way up. You know, I still think you got to learn the coaching and respect the process within the game and respect the game. So I try to work my way up as quickly as I could, but you know, start where I need to start and get to where I need to get. But hopefully Amazon keeps me on as long as they're around.
All right. There you go. I have a feeling I've just looked up. Amazon will be around. I'm seeing that right here in my notes. Amazon will be around. So we'll see that. Offensive coordinator Michael Crabtree, right? That's who your OC is?
That's who I'm going with. That's who I'm going with. Like Biletnikoff winner.
Are you in the Seahawks back in the day, the Legion of Boom, that crew tight? Do you guys have like a text chain or anything like that?
We do. We have a lot of text chains, and we have Instagram group chats. We have a lot of things. We are as tight as ever. I just talked to Bobby yesterday or day
what
before.
A season, by the way. What he? Holy cow! I shouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't say that, right? Bobby Wagner, that's a first ballot guy. If there's any other human being walking the planet, like what a season he just had.
It's unbelievable how consistent he's been over a career. It should be studied. I mean, he has the second most all pros tied with Jerry Rice, one of the greatest players to ever play this game of football. Mm. If he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer, just throw the award out, throw the jackets away and retire it. You know, I think he's the definition of first ballot Hall of Famer of what the NFL stands for and what an all-time great looks like.
All right. I mean, I would ask you who's on the text chain, but that would lead to who's not. Right. I mean, yeah, I don't want to do that. Did Pete Carroll's firing hit the text chain and you guys talking about it, Richard?
Yeah. We always talk about, you know, things that happen with Pete because you want better for him. And unfortunately, it looks bad. And now they're speculating, you know, about Brennan and all this and nepotism and all these things. If people using words they've never used in their life, they're like, yeah, he shouldn't have been nepotistic. I'm like, well, I don't even think that's a word, guys.
But they're messing with a Stanford guy there. So be careful. I understand. Right.
But it's unfortunate because you want him to go out on top. You want him to have success. But hey, if his retirement plan is the Raiders paying him $16 million to leave, then, hey, you know, I'm still happy for our experiences and our memories, and hopefully he and Glenda go out and ride off into the sunset.
Well, I mean, I love the guy, and I watched him teach a class at USC, Richard, where he reached out to these kids talking about the game, his life, and sharing so much with them, as I'm sure he did with you and the rest of your Legion of Boomers and everyone else on that dynastic team. I wonder if you just want to pound the table for his potential Hall of Fame credentials, Richard, what he did for you and what unfortunately wasn't able to be manifested for the Raiders, Richard.
Yeah, I mean, his impact on the game. And I think that's what makes him a Hall of Famer is just his impact on the game, his consistency. I think a lot of the coaching philosophy and cultural, the way people think about football coaches, came from him and his line of thinking, and not his first stint in the NFL, but his most recent stint with the Seattle Seahawks coming in 2010, because he brought that college energy, playing music, just having fun, not the serious, you know. I think there was two lines of thought at the time. It's the Bill Belichick, you know, old school Bill Bell, you know what I mean? Brian Billick, and hey, you got to be tough. You got to be quiet. You got to be practice for 3.5 hours and just grind these guys into the ground. And then you had Pete Carroll's model where it's like, hey, 2 hours, 15 minutes in and out, go out there, roll the ball out, have a good time, compete as hard as you can, and come back. Enjoy coming to work every day. Enjoy the guys we have. Get the best out of these unique talents that you have. And I think that's the way coaches think nowadays, especially these younger coaches. They're playing music at practice. They're having basketball hoops and games during meetings, things that were unspeakable in the 80s and early 90s are now standards in NFL locker rooms and on winning teams. So I think that's something, his impact on the game can be seen and felt throughout a number of locker rooms and on winning teams and coaches that are having a lot of success.
Few minutes I have left with you, Richard. Let's talk about the wild card Saturday night contest on Prime Video. What a monster game to be set up for all of us to watch. I will be tuned in, obviously, to what you and the rest of your pregame, post, and halftime crew is talking about for Bears and the Packers. You saw the Bears absolutely stun the Eagles the day after Thanksgiving, and now you got the Packers coming in just a couple weeks after almost sweeping the Bears. What do you make of this game, Richard? What do you got?
I think it's their best case scenario in terms of playoff matchup. I don't think they wanted to run into I don't think the Packers wanted to run into the Eagles or the Seahawks or the Rams or anybody like that. I think a division matchup and a team that's familiar with, a team that they dominate really for two games straight. And really, it came down to the end, and the Bears are the comeback kids, and Caleb Williams makes some plays at the end of both of those games to give them a chance. But the big thing is, it's LaFleur. You know, it's almost the same conversation with Harbaugh and Tomlin, that they've been the seventh seed for the last 3 years. And if this was the old playoff format, they wouldn't have made it. And so can they get over the hump? They're obviously the first seventh seed to win a game when they beat Dallas a couple years ago. But can Jordan Love get over the hump? Can he be as safe with the football in the playoffs as he's been during the season? Because the last two seasons, they've gone home on his arm. And he's thrown interceptions. I think last year against Philadelphia, he threw 3 interceptions, no touchdowns. The year before against San Francisco 49ers, he threw multiple interceptions, including the last one in the 2-minute drill to close that game. But that's going to be the story of this game. If he can get over the hump and he can play safe and guide his team and not turn the football over and they can win that game, I think it goes a long way to establishing who he is and establishing it, who this team is in the future. But if they lose this game, I think coming off a season where you had very high expectations after the Micah Parsons trade, you're going to have some issues on your hand. You're going to have some very difficult questions to answer because of how much you gave up for Micah, and the results being honestly the same as they've been the past three seasons. Past 2 seasons.
Half of the North in the playoffs, they're facing each other on Prime Video. 3/4 of the NFC West in the playoffs in the NFC. It's really a very deep pool, and the first NFC games come up on Saturday, culminating with your game on Prime Video. And as you know all about taking on divisional foes in a playoff game. So just beware to any receiver that says that they're the best going into the game. It gives an opportunity for a defense, just throw it out there, a defensive back to, say, pick somebody off in the end zone, go up to Kelly Hartung, and have a moment that can earn them an ESPY to put on the shelf one day. Is that what you're saying, Richard?
I'm just saying the opportunity's there. Rich, it's obvious. It's there. Wide open.
It's open. Hey, Richard, great to chat with you. Love seeing what you're doing on Prime Video. Best to you and your fam. Have a great time. Dress warm. But you already knew that.
Yeah. I'm going to dress, make sure I put on multiple layers and get ready for a very, very fun game.
But
I can't wait.
We all know nobody on television looks colder than Tony Gonzalez. Period. End of story. And that's when it's like 60 degrees out. I'm concerned for his safety. Will you tell him that? Okay.
I'm going to tell him when I see him. We're going to bring extra space heaters for him. You know, we're going to do our best.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Let's start a fire. You know, controlled. Be careful. But you be well, Richard. Say hi to everybody.
Thank you. I will. You do the same.
That's Prime Video's Richard Sherman, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show, here on a family of networks. Nobody looks colder than Tony Gonzalez.
And he played in Kansas City.
I understand that. But at the end, anybody's Southern California guy. He's a Cal guy. I mean, plus Cal Stanford on that set. I'm sure he wouldn't mind busting, you know, Tony's cojones on my behalf. It's my way of saying hello. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here. Breaking news out of Indiana football. Oh. Kurt Cignetti can smile. That's coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Back here on ESPN Radio, along with SiriusXM on our ESPN audience today. First of 2 days, our two-day residency. Pat is in right now Phoenix, Arizona, getting set for tonight's Ole Miss-Miami contest. And then I imagine they're all hopping a flight to Atlanta for the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. That's the Verbo Fiesta Bowl tonight. Want to make sure all the sponsors are very happy. and in that Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, Oregon taking on Indiana. I called Indiana the bullies of college football after they spank-a-lankered the Alabama Crimson Tide in the Rose Bowl. Trust me, the day I was in the Rose Bowl, very nervous with my team 144 Michigan Wolverines taking on the Alabama Crimson Tide in that game. I wish there was a rocking chair in that building. There was not. That game went into overtime. Also had no idea that would wind up being Nick Saban's last game as head coach in college football, and we'd be sending him to ESPN full time.
So they should be thanking you guys.
You know what? Yes. But that's they should be thanking Michigan football for everything.
Oh.
Anyway, long story short, I shouldn't talk. Listen, the reason why I'm bringing this all up now is Indiana is, in fact, the bullies. Yep. And the face of the bully is that man. Kurt Cignetti. This man, is this the man that has wrecked the buffet for virtually every college football team taking on Indiana that thinks they're the Indiana of old? Yes.
This man.
How dare Alabama threaten to go for it on fourth down only to pull up stakes, then go out and go for it on fourth down against this man. He will create a meme on you.
Roll Tide.
With his looks and his arched eyebrows and his demeanor that ranges anywhere from crusty to nasty. So he stepped to the podium in Atlanta, Georgia, prior to this Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, and was asked about a former player telling The Athletic that Coach Cignetti is never satisfied and never happy. Coach was asked if that's true. Here's his response.
No, that's not right. I mean, there's a lot of times I am happy, I just don't show I'm happy. And if I'm going to ask my players, right, to play the first game, first play, to play 150 the same regardless of the competitive circumstances, then I can't be seen on the sideline, right, high-fiving people and celebrating, or what's going to happen, right? What's the effect going to be, right? So that's why I am like I am during the game. I'll smile and celebrate later in the coach's room with the coaches, you know, maybe have a beer. Of course, in the playoffs, you got to do 9 or 10 different press conferences after the game. So that's about an hour and a half later. You know, people ask, do you ever get to enjoy this? And last week I asked Jeff Cake, I said, we just won the game and I got 10 press conferences I got to do after the game. When am I going to enjoy this? So no, I do smile and I am happy at times.
He smiled right there.
He smiled. Smiles, everyone. Smiles.
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
You know what?
Hour and a half. Yeah, that's Pittsburgh great. Right there.
This is how much I love the guy. The fact that he would say he can't enjoy a win because he's got to talk to people like me and colleagues of mine in the industry. I'll even look past that and say, I understand. 10 press conferences. Probably only had to do one. But who's to argue with this man? We are all rent payers in this man's world right now. Look at that guy. Faces of Cignetti. Great fantasy team name if there was a college football team in a fantasy world.
Well, he might be elsewhere in a couple weeks.
I keep saying that I mean, NFL should kick tires on this man, but he seems very happy where he is.
Does.
Ruling the Indiana Roost, hour one in the books.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.